Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 35. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Asamshaya Mahabaho, Manodur Nigraham Chalam, Abhyasena Tukunteya, Vairagyena Chagriyate, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Personality of Godhead said, Asam Shayam, undoubtedly, Mahabaho, Almighty Armed One, Manaha, the mind, Durnigraham, difficult to curb, Shalam, flickering, Abhyasena, by practice, to, but, Kunteya, O son of Kunti, Vairagyena, by detachment, Cha, also, Priyate, can be so controlled. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna said, Almighty Armed Son of Kunti, is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Purport. The difficulty of controlling the absent mind, as expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead. At the same time, he suggests, by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations, placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the supersoul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 different types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Him, about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method, purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn Vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called Parishanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert material objectives, by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind, and eating the food stuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Samsham Havaho Manodur Nigraham Shalam Abhyasena Tukunteya Vairagena Chagriyate. The personality of God had said, Lord Sri Krishna said, Almighty Armed Son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So this is the Ayurvedic formula that Prabhupada gives for curing the mad mind. Chanting the holy names is the medicine, and taking prasadam is the diet. Not difficult. But Arjuna said it's difficult to curb the restless mind, and Krishna agrees it's undoubtedly difficult, but it's possible by suitable practice. And what is that practice? First of all, it's learning how to hear. before we can do anything, we have to learn how to hear. If we don't learn how to hear, we can't do anything else, because hearing means that we actually remember. If we hear and we don't remember, we haven't heard anything really. If after hearing this lecture, you walk away and wonder who gave the lecture, which book did he read? Or she, I can't remember. And where was I just now? I think I was in the temple, wasn't I? I don't know. So, therefore, it was almost a waste of time, unless you were completely in ecstasy while you were in the temple. You were so much in ecstasy when you walked out, you can't remember where you were, because you were in Goloka Vrindavan during that time. But generally, suitable hearing means we hear in such a way as that we actually remember something. Therefore, we can see in Prabhupada's purports, he repeats sometimes in a purport the same thing over and over again in different ways. And then he keeps on saying Krishna all the time, in many purports, just Krishna. If you look at 1865, Manmana Bhava Madhbhakto, I don't know how many times Prabhupada repeats Krishna, but it's practically every line in the purport, at least once. Because, as Prabhupada said, repetition is necessary for understanding. Now, if we're not clear whether we've heard, we're not clear if we remember anything, then the only thing to do is go back and hear it again. If we don't do that, then we're wasting our time. It's nice to hear, to come to class. It's nice to read Prabhupada's books. But if we actually were hearing, we wouldn't be able to forget. As the end of the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya gives his final words, because Sanjaya is the final speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. He was the one who was conveying the message as he was experiencing it within his heart to Dhritarashtra. He was telling Dhritarashtra what Krishna was telling Arjuna. So did he remember what Krishna had said? At the end, did he pass the Bhakti Shastri test? Or did he say, well, I'm sorry, you know, I was able to repeat it, but I can't remember anything. I can't remember. Let's see, what was the name of that battlefield again? I know two people were speaking, but I can't remember exactly who they were. Sanjaya says that, let's get the first two words. Rajan Samsrita Samsrita Rupa Maja Putamare Bishmai Saumai Mahe Rajan Rishamicha Punak Punak. Actually, that's wrong. But anyway, Sanjaya said, Samjaya Mahabhava. Rajam Samsrita Samsrita Sambadam Idam Ashrosam Keshvarjana Punya Rishamicha Mahur Mahur. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure, being thrilled at every moment. So he didn't forget. He was remembering it again and again and being thrilled at remembering it. And then Tatsha Samsrita Samsrita Rupamaya Bhutam Hare Vishmai Soma Maharajan Rishamicha Punak Punak. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. So samsmritya. Smritya means remember, but he was samsmritya. Sam means completely. He remembered everything that had happened. And not only samsmritya, rajan samsmritya, samsmritya. When we repeat something twice in Sanskrit, it really means, I really did it, I really remember it. Fully, everything. I remember every fly that flew by Krishna and Arjuna when they were speaking. I remember everything as if I was just there. And not only remember it, but he's taking pleasure at every moment remembering it. So that's called good study. Rupamadhyabhutaradhan Samsrida Samsrida Rupamadhyabhuta Vishvaisamai Maharajan Radhan Samsrita Samsrita Sambudam Idam Ashrosam. Ashrosam, I think, is that my hair is standing on end, being thrilled. Radha Samsrita Samsrita Sambudam Imam Ashrosam Keshavarjava Punya Rishamitra Muhur Mahu. So his hairs were standing on end, remembering it. So that would be a glorious day when we come to a Bhagavad Gita class and our seeker, our hair is standing on end. We're being thrilled at every moment. Well, that's what we're supposed to be experiencing. That's actually the natural experience. Machita, machkata, prana, bodhyantash parashram, katayantashram nityam, tushanti cha, ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another and conversing about me. So that's what we're supposed to do. Great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about Krishna. One time I was in New Vrindavan, I can't remember the year, maybe it was 72 or something like that. And Srila Prabhupada was there, it was Janmasthami 1972, I believe. It could have. And they were installing a new temple. The temple was probably half the size of this. But it was a nice temple, actually. And Prabhupada was there, and there were, I don't know how many hundreds of devotees there were trying to squeeze into a place half the size of this. And it was, Prabhupada started at 11 o'clock at night having someone read the Krishna book. Starting with the first chapter, the advent of Lord Krishna, or Brahma when he goes to the ocean of milk, Bhumi comes and she's complaining about the demons on the earth. And so it began at around 11 o'clock at night, and the devotees kept on reading, and there was absolutely no air in the temple. I mean, imagine, you know, 200 or 300 devotees, maybe less than that, but everyone in America, and America was probably the main temple, the main zone at that time, coming to New Vrindavan, this small temple, Prabhupada sitting there, and all the devotees are packed in, and it's a Janmasthami, a day where everyone's fasting. And after a couple of hours, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and the devotees started to fall asleep. And Prabhupada looked around. Prabhupada was completely enlivened. And he said, "Oh, you're tired? I wasn't only tired, I was hungry." And after that, I was a little slow to get on the line, so I didn't get any prasadam. So that was a little bit disappointing also. My best friend, Jagadish, who was the GBC at that time, didn't give me any of his. He got prasadam, he got special plate, but he wouldn't give me anything. So I remember, and the repeated remembrance of that. But I do remember, you know, Prabhupada. I was right across from Prabhupada. I was like maybe a foot from Prabhupada, seeing Prabhupada who's completely alive and listening, and everyone else is dead, practically falling over each other. So Prabhupada knew how to listen. He knew how to hear, and he was taking pleasure at every moment. So we have to come to that platform, at least remembering, because by remembering, then we can actually start thinking about it. And by thinking about it, we can see it. Eventually, we can actually develop a vision, either of the pastimes or the philosophy. And then we can actually apply it. And by applying it, then Krishna says, Te sham satatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamu piyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to worshiping me with love, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So as we apply the philosophy, then Krishna gives us more and more understanding of how to remain in Krishna consciousness while we're doing our activities. devotional activities. Krishna will give us more and more realization, and eventually Krishna himself will personally appear before us in our hearts, and we'll become more and more ecstatic in absorption in Krishna consciousness. Tesham eva nukamparata. That means by trying to apply the correct process, then we'll get the correct experience that we're looking for. So again, Krishna says it's difficult to curb the restless mind, yes, but it's possible by suitable practice. Hear, learn how to memorize what we're hearing, learn how to see what we've memorized, learn how to apply what we see, learn how to experience, accept what we've experienced in our relationships with others and with Krishna, accept that we're Krishna's servants and apply that appropriately, and then Krishna will reveal himself to us, we'll become Krishna conscious. And detachment. Detachment from the things that draw the mind away from Krishna. So this is Madhya Madhikari. Love Krishna, serve the devotees, help the innocent, and don't associate with persons or things that draw the mind away from Krishna. So that's what Madhya Madhikari is meant for. Fix the mind upon Krishna and become detached from the things that take our mind away from Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Okay, my question is, what happens if someone is deaf? He can't hear.
I can't hear you what you're saying.
And cannot hear mantra with ears.
He can't hear the mantra. What happens to them?
Deaf.
Deaf. If they're deaf. Well, they can hopefully they can see. They can always look and see. I mean, it depends when they were deaf. But anyhow, they can see. Hare Krishna mantra. They can see the deities. They can see Krishna. Krishna. They don't have to. Everyone can hear. Believe me, everyone hears. At least within their mind. Unless they're dead, everyone's listening to something in their mind. Now, there are different levels of hearing. Hearing externally is only one level, and it's not the most profound or subtle level. Generally, people who have sensory deficiency in one area, they actually get acuity in another area. If you're deaf, then your vision will come, or your feeling will come, will even become greater. So they become more sensitive in other areas to make up for it to some degree. Yes. I think even Helen Keller, she was deaf and blind and something else. She was, I think she wrote books. Imagine from birth being deaf and blind and be able to, you know, write books.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes it is our experience that we hear something and we almost have hair standing on end, too, or actually. But then we hear it again after some time and it doesn't. If it were spiritual, it was, I mean...
Well, a lot of the preparation is a lot of the what our experience is. Like if we prepare for the day... If we're, for instance, you get up early in the morning, you chant your rounds very nicely, and you serve the devotees, and you know, everything is, you're real, and it just, by your, the circumstances and the preparation and everything else, you're just receptive. And Krishna reciprocates for some reason or another, and you experience happiness, transcendental pleasure, Krishna reveals. And then, another day, you're a little less qualified by Krishna's determination, and you read the same thing, and you don't get the effect. It's not like, you know, Krishna, I got this effect before, you're obliged to give it to me again. I deserve it because I did so much for you. No, it's Krishna out of, it depends. Especially in the stage where one is not fixed in Krishna consciousness, then it's Taranga Rangini at best, or Niyamama Akshama. There's different levels of experience of Krishna consciousness till we come to the stage of offenseless chanting, where we're always meek and humble. We're always qualified. Yes.
And what is the proper understanding of neophyte enthusiasm or not enthusiasm?
Utsahamayi.
Is it all utsahamayi? In the beginning, oftentimes, so many things make us ecstatic, and then...
Yeah, because it's an ecstatic process. Krishna, makes his own arrangements. Obviously, at the beginning, sometimes Krishna gives us some extra mercy. Because, for one thing, we're a little bit more innocent at the beginning. We come to the temple and we see the devotees. We think they're all coming from Vaikuntha. They're all angels. We think we're the only demon in the room. We're actually a little humble. We've been beaten by the material energy and we're ready to, you know, surrender our heart to Krishna. And then after some time we get to know the devotees more and we develop our, you know, our conditioned nature and our lack of proper training. Sometimes we don't have the same attitude anymore. We don't have the same appreciation. We start becoming a little, even a little proud sometimes. So, Krishna reciprocates. But in the beginning, Krishna wants to encourage us. And sometimes due to yoga brashta, due to the fact that we do devotional service in the past, Krishna wants to give us some special mercy to encourage us to take up the process. Otherwise, why would we do it? Unless we get some special mercy. It's not just an intellectual exercise. Yes.
Maharaj, in Bhagavad Gita it says that wise people do not engage in the pleasures which have beginning and an end. And as Adipurusha was pointing out on Prabhu, on one lecture when you had some obligations about that verse, he had lecture on that verse, he said that the real pleasure does not have a beginning. So when entering into real spiritual ecstasy, then we should probably understand that we were blissful all along. We've been blissful all along our spiritual practice already. So some realizations should stay, and we should remain blissful after entering that realization that we are blissful already, actually.
I'm not so blissful all the time.
Neither, but according to the verse...
No, it says such pleasures... Which verse? Such pleasures have a beginning and end?
Yeah,
material pleasures have a beginning and an end.
Yeah,
so sense gratification.
Yeah, but entering spiritual... Trance.
Yeah, well, let's enter into spiritual life. It's not so easy to enter into spiritual life.
Yeah, but that means that we actually haven't tasted...
Well, I don't know. We do... You have to remember that you can experience spiritual ecstasy one moment, and by material attachment, the next moment, you forget the whole thing. You're covered by material energy. Forgetfulness is one of the steps in the fall down. Contemplation, attachment, greed, anger, delusion, forgetfulness, and loss of intelligence. Until nature can cover us in a moment. Maybe it does cover us in a moment. As I pointed out, Daksha Maharaj was totally in ecstasy when the Lord Vishnu came to answer his prayers. He had so much in ecstasy, he had to sit down. He couldn't even stand up. And then what does he ask for? He asked for his unlimited sex life. Then he offends Narada Muni again. He falls down. So that's the nature of Maya.
That scares me.
It should scare you. It's meant to scare us. Otherwise, we will never become serious. But I think we had Bar Maharaj. was on the doorsteps of Bhava, always in ecstasy, and he felt he became a deer. What is that meant for? We're not against deer. It's meant to put us, you know, to frighten us, so we take shelter of Krishna more. We don't become puffed up or complacent or relax, you know. I did enough service, at least I'm going to the heavenly planets. What's the problem? My girlfriend's waiting for me there. How about that? Become more serious than that. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.